Well, folks, for this week's best of, we're going to go all the way back to January of 2020 for episode 21 when we covered the $1.98 TV show with Rip Taylor. And the reason why we're covering this is it's technically the first show where I got a new mic after my crappy ass microphone that you could barely hear any audio in the first 20 episodes where I think you could hear some clicking sounds. But also, when we did the remastered series, I left out 21 and 22 because those were the first two shows I recorded with a new mic. But those were the only ones that technically don't have the introduction to the podcast, you know, the theme music.
Oh, yeah, the theme music.
Because we only introduced that in episode 23. So I figured, okay, episode 21, we got to put the theme music for that. And episode 22, we got to put the theme music for that.
So
So.
not only is this a best of episode, it's also a remaster question mark?
Well, not real. I'm not going to fool around with the audio of this, but hey, you get Rip Taylor, and that's great. And you get, as we love on this podcast, very cheap prizes.
The cheapest.
But not as cheap as guess what?
I actually did some research. You know what $1.98 is worth in today money?
Oh, what's it worth in 2024?
$1.98 is worth little over $9.
Oh, okay. $9.
So hey, you win a beauty pageant with Rip Taylor as your host and some questionable celebrity judges, let's just say. You win a bouquet of dead flowers, a tin foil crown, a put together sash, and $9.
You win the
And
prize.
Rip Taylor gets to sing to you.
You take the cake.
You won the crown at $1.98. Oh God, that was terrible. Here's some actual, music. So.
An anthology about the bad, the short-lived, and the forgotten shows and events in television history. This is It Was a Thing on TV.
Before I change my mind,
I give you Super Train.
Welcome to the It Was a Thing on TV podcast, episode 21, submission 102, the $1.98 Beauty Show. It was syndicated and it aired from September of 1978 to September of 1980 for 78 episodes.
From Hollywood, the glamour capital of the world, join us in a make-believe search for the most beautiful girl on earth. Yes, it's a $1.98 beauty show, an entertainment spectacular if ever there was one, where beauty is not only in the eyes of the beholder, but also on this very stage. Tonight, the $1.98 Beauty Show will continue its relentless spoof of all of those other so-called beauty contests. And although this is not a real contest, we will bring you our version of the All-American Beauty, that one-of-a-kind girl who not only has personality and poise, but beauty and talent as well. Yes, sir, the $1.98 Beauty Show will be bringing you tons of talented and beautiful women every single week. Happy women, terrified women, women singing and dancing and parading about in the latest bathing suits. From the halls of Montezuma to the shores of San Tropez. Mr. Beauty himself, Rip Taylor!
Exciting and beautiful women you've ever seen on this stage, waiting to find out which one will be this week's $1.98 beauty. One of which is the beautiful Tahitian dancer who once said, "I want everyone to see my beautiful body." We'll meet her and her competition right after this message.
Oh!
And guys, the 70s were a wild time.
Man, it was such a time in America. People were disco dancing, people were doing coke, and people were watching weird television like this, the $1.98 beauty show. And boy, guys, this was something else.
Yeah, we were talking a couple weeks ago about Jiggle Television. This was either a parody of it or a celebration of it, depending on your personal purview. But they were here for it for two whole seasons.
Greg, you said at the beginning the 70s were a time for discoing, for doing coke, and for weird television shows?
Yep.
I think you just, like, did the textbook definition of Chuck Barris right there.
Whoa. Chuck Barris kept it clean. Yes, he was twisted, but he kept it clean.
Hey, I didn't get into the other stuff Chuck Barris was allegedly doing in the 70s.
Oh, there's movies about that and books about that. Confessions of a Dangerous Mind is definitely a must-see if you want to learn more about the subject. But yeah, Chuck Barris, he was, dare I call him an anti-producer?
He was sort of king of the anti-producers, anti-hosts. Yes, he kept on the up and up behind the scenes, but when his face was on the camera and his name was in the credits, you are almost assured of A, at the very least a good time, and B, well, that was pretty much it, because one of Chuck Barris's hallmarks is, to quote Julie Chen, expect the unexpected.
I would take it a step further and add the word lunacy. If you look at the shows he did, produced Newlywed Game and Dating Game. He didn't create the Newlywed Game, though. That was Nicholson and Muir who did pay cards and super pay cards. How they went from Newlywed Game to super pay cards, who the hell knows? But also, he did Treasure Hunt, and he did Gong Show, which is by far his most popular show. He also did Three's a Crowd, which, spoiler, is a future entry. But also he did, spoiler, future entry, Camouflage. I'm sorry, those two shows are absolutely horrible. I mean, he sort of hit his apex around 77, 78, and then he just went right down the mountain. He went to Three's a Crowd and Camouflage. The new Treasure Hunt was decent, or the Treasure Hunt,
the syndicated version, 81.
Treasure Hunt was awesome. Treasure Hunt was great.
But 81 Treasure
Hunt, we got to put 81 Treasure Hunt is the best.
Yes, I didn't think we were going to cover it at Treasure Hunt, but that's a possibility.
We should. We should.
Well, there were like three versions of Treasure Hunt to cover, so.
That'll take an hour. Put it on the list.
There you go. Show prep in the middle of an episode. Awesome. So we go to 1976, where ABC had already canceled the Dating Game and the Newlywed Game, but they had encouraged him to revive the Dating Game and the Newlywed Game for syndication, as well as adding another show, because, again, he also had the Gong Show going on NBC, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
And he came up with sort of a pastiche on the beauty show, the beauty contest, which was basically, let's do Miss America if it were 30 minutes long, and we didn't have the budget for anything extravagant.
We had a budget of $2. $2.
That's all we can give away, folks. $1.98. We got to give this away.
It's like, okay, and we need somebody who is like Burt Parks, but willing to work for scale. Enter Rip Taylor.
Who was
legend. He indeed is legend.
And God bless him. We lost him last year, and he is always willing to make himself the butt of every joke, and he was king of that on this show.
Well, let's start with how the show actually was laid out. It was like any other talent show. You had the opening of the show, and they in the opening of the show, you had Rip Taylor come out with a bevy of beauties and a couple on his arms, and he'd walk down like the catwalk, the runway there. And once he got to the contestants, what happened? He did Rip Taylor. He pulled out a big bag of confetti and just flung it everywhere. Don't care if it gets in people's eyes or mouths. Here, you get confetti, you get confetti, you get confetti. And there is at least even one episode where the audience had confetti with them and started throwing their confetti at Rip Taylor.
It's like, I got you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like, you
it's just was giving confetti everywhere. I'd hate to be the janitorial staff cleaning
up after every episode. If there was any more confetti, it would have run for 6 months on Facebook.
Too soon.
I'll tell you this. Rip gave the people what they wanted. They wanted confetti, and he gave them confetti, dang it.
Oh, yes. So after the intro where Rip Taylor covered the audience in confetti and had this bevy of beauties, I mean, he must have had probably a dozen women behind him. Don't know if they are future contestants or past contestants or just hired models, but he had all these women in swimsuits behind him, and then he introduced the celebrities. We'll get to the celebrities in a little bit. There were three, and I believe Chico mentioned this earlier, or maybe it was Greg, before we started recording.
It was me.
They did absolutely nothing.
Yes!
This is the easiest paycheck in Hollywood. They chose the final winner, but other than that, they didn't say a word. They just waved to the audience. They just watched the whole proceedings going on.
I don't even think they chose the winner.
Well, I think it looks like they deliberated, but at the very least, one of the celebrities, I think the one furthest away from the stage, gave either Rip the final winner in an envelope, or he gave it to the sidekick, who we'll get to later on, because I've got stuff to say about the sidekick.
Yeah. But the best part is, the best part about this show is the celebrities and their reactions to what the contestants are doing. This is probably the best paycheck in the whole world to be on this show, and you just watch some people do some ridiculous stuff, and it's comedy gold from there.
Yeah.
It's money for nothing, baby.
And your checks for free.
So after we meet the celebrities, we have our introduction of the contestants for the night. They came down a little staircase, generally wearing like dresses. And I wouldn't even say evening dresses. It wasn't anything fancy. And you'd hear Johnny Jacobs, the announcer, saying, "Here's contestant one, you know, Jan Smith from, you know, Poughkeepsie, New York." And she's, you know, 27 years old. So just a basic overview, nothing fancy. And Rip would always, you know, talk with the contestant and have some snappy one-liner at the end, making fun of either the person's where they live, sometimes maybe their ethnicity, nothing too fierce, but always had some quick little one-liner. And then here's contestant two, same thing. Come down the staircase. Rip says, "Hi, you know, what do you do for a living?" And then he makes some little snappy one-liner or retort, and then repeat for the other six contestants. And then we get to the talent portion. Well, we should put talent in air quotes.
Well, when we say talent, it really is as wild a card as you can get, because they could be genuinely talented. Or the kind
of the one that you mentioned earlier, Chico.
Okay. Oh, okay. So on one of the episodes that's on YouTube, we have lovely Rita from Belize, then British Honduras. Her talent was balancing 2 champagne glasses on her boobs.
Well, she's definitely.
She went on to win the whole thing, by the way.
She definitely has 2 talents. We know that much.
I can only imagine why she won.
Gwen, Greg, behave. Why'd I say Gwen? I don't know.
So, was that the episode that has Peter Lawford as a celebrity? They might explain.
No, the episode I watched had Rosie Greer and.
Oh, and Mackenzie Phillips. Yes. Well, don't say the rest of the celebrities because I know what you're talking about. We'll get through the celebrity rundown in a little bit, or some of the celebrities. So, yeah, the talent competition was, I mean, there are legitimately good talents. You'd have dancers and singers, piano players, people doing, you know, gymnastics or cheerleading. But then you'd have, like, as Chico said, the not really talent, but you know
the
what?
Cutting room floor of America's Got Talent material, basically.
It's the 70s. It's the jiggle factor. I'm going to put champagne glasses on my boobs. Yeah. Only from Chuck Barris. And then after that, we get the swimsuit competition. And.
Oh.
Well. Okay, if you say so. Johnny Jacobs would introduce each girl and he would give their measurements. That isn't a little. I don't know. Invading one's privacy a little bit. Here's your measurements. 34, 24, 32. Maybe this was the Chuck Barris version of the proverbial casting couch. Hmm? Yeah, you know what I mean by that.
Yes, I know what you mean by that.
Okay.
I can't not know what you mean by that.
Okay, but yeah, I think that this was sort of the Chuck Barris version of the casting couch in terms of, okay, here, now we know the measurements of the girl. We know where she lives. I mean, the only thing they didn't, like, broadcast was her social security number. In addition to the measurements, Johnny Jacobs would always have very comedic lines. I mean, obviously fed to him, but, you know, they'd say, oh, she was born in Arkansas, and she spent her first 18 years of life, you know, living on a pig farm. Oh, and she was the main pig or something like that. I mean, sometimes it'd be very sarcastic, some of the comments, you know, very jokingly funny to get a laugh out of the audience. It wasn't totally biographical. There was some comedic factor. And then after each contestant showed off their stuff, if you will, their figure, they stood on the side of the stage against a wall. And then we had a final break. And the judges, quote unquote, deliberated over a winner. And the winner, as I said, gave some sort of assistant. And this guy, he looked like a cross. He was dressed as a cross between, like, William Shakespeare and one of the Three Musketeers. He had this. Did you look at this, Greg?
He looks like the community theater version of a bard.
Yeah, he's wearing this hat that would be like a Three Musketeers type of hat, and he's wearing like purple suede and velvet, and he's wearing even like purple leggings. He looks like, you know, like one of the Three Musketeers or somebody from Shakespearean times. And he'd run and bring Rip Taylor over the envelope, and he'd rip it open and say, you know, tonight's second place winner or runner up is blank, and then the winner is blank. And then you get into the serenade, and as Rip is serenading, the bard, I think that's what we'll just call him, the bard. The bard rolls a little red carpet down the runway so the day's winner could walk down it. And Rip Taylor adorns the winner of the day with a tiara, a headdress, very reminiscent of something that you would see on the Statue of Liberty, but it's missing one of the spikes. sort of signifying the cheapness of the whole effort. And also, he would give a bouquet, instead of not roses, but of like rotten vegetables and cabbage and carrots. Oh. I mean, this is like the epitome of the. It's showing the cheapness. This is great.
Yep. Yeah, it was a bouquet from the salad bar, a tiara with one of the spikes missing, a dirty robe, a cheap sash, and of course the titular prize of $1.98 all in change,
which Rip Taylor dispensed from a coin dispenser on his belt.
Yes. Yeah. Yep. He gave the coin. He got the coins out, and he gave it to the contestant. He didn't have a paper dollar bill and some coins. No. He gave him the entire dollar's worth of coins.
Now, the only way this might get better, and I use the word might, is if there's a giant prop check for $1.98 that came out.
It's like, paid to the order of the winner. Memo, winning. Oh, wait.
Do not cash if over $1.98.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute. No, that was the Almost Impossible Game Show, by the way. Future installment, the Almost Impossible Game Show.
After Rip Taylor gave the day's winner her prizes and her sash and her rotten vegetables, he would serenade her. And here's that serenade now.
Just brings a tear to your eye, doesn't it, Mike?
It brings a feeling.
It brings something. I don't know about a tear to my eye.
Maybe that was indigestion. I don't know. But in all of this, it's important to remember one thing, and I have it right here, and I had to blow it up after capturing it on my tablet here. Because Game Show Network, when they ran the show, they like to squeeze in Chris Evans and his friends guessing salmonella or botulism. Or anyway.
And you know what? You know what's a rip, Chico? We didn't even get to see America's ass from Chris Evans.
No, we did not. Okay, anyway, all of this, we must remember one thing. If you take nothing else from this show, remember this one thing. The preceding program was not a contest and was intended as entertainment only. All winners were selected by the production company.
Well, you mentioned the Game Show Network airings from about 2001 and 2002. As a kid, I actually remember this being rerun on Saturday nights, probably around 1984, 85, maybe as late as 86. And actually, that was sort of the case with a number of the Bears shows from back in the late 70s. Newlywed Game reruns and Dating Game reruns, I remember, were airing on independent television in this area. It would have been probably about 1983, 84-ish.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that much because I remember they would air on, I believe I was living in... Kansas City at the time, and they aired either on KSHB 41 back when it was an independent, or KZKC back when it was an independent.
Right. Yeah. They the Newlywed Game and maybe the Dating Game I know aired on WCLQ here again, like 83, 84. But the $1.98 Beauty Show was one of the early shows that current CBS affiliate and former Fox affiliate WOIO aired when it first launched. I believe it was 84, 85. I think it was 84 when it launched. And that was actually sort of appointment TV for me as a 9 or 10 year old. And that tells you a heck of a lot about me.
It does. It does.
Sadly, yes.
This had it all. This had all the entertainment that you could possibly want in 1978.
And we haven't even gotten to the celebrities.
Oh, yeah. Let's get.
This is the best part.
This is the best part because
this is like a who's who of late 70s. You had some retreads. You had Peter Lawford, but he was making the rounds in the 70s. He played Pyramid at some point in the 70s.
Yeah, and Peter Lawford was also on what we mentioned back in episode 5, the aforementioned pilot episode of Monday Night Quarterback.
And Rosie Grier. And Rosie Grier was definitely a household name, not just from football, but he was even doing acting in the 70s.
Yes, he was.
A young lady at the time, Mackenzie Phillips, who would have been on One Day at a Time.
Right.
J.P. Morgan, who we all know from The Gong Show and other Chuck Barris shows and even some singing. Trini Lopez.
Wait, what?
Trini Lopez. Do you need to look up who Trini Lopez is?
I may have to. The name is familiar, or maybe I was thinking of Trini Alvarado, but anyway. Trini Lopez, American musician.
First album included a version of If I Had a Hammer.
There you go. Still with us, by the way.
Like I said, everybody knows who Trini Lopez is.
Next, we have another veteran from the game show circuit, Fred Travellina.
And he probably was in so much pain because he couldn't do any of his impressions. He had to sit down and be quiet.
Again, best job in Hollywood if you could get it in 1978.
And then after Fred Travellina, we had, again, another TV mainstay from pretty much like the 50s through, I would almost say, her death, Dr. Joyce Brothers. I mean, she was on everything.
She was one of the original people who was on the circuit known for being, well, known.
For being somebody. She was known for more than being known.
Yep.
She did win the big prize on $64,000 question.
Yeah, and that was basically it. She was the Ken Jennings back in the day.
Oh, I'm going to disagree with you because Ken Jennings has done far more than that. He's a writer. He's a podcast host.
Yes.
Yeah. He's more than, he got his popularity from Jeopardy, obviously, but I don't think Joyce Brothers, I'm sure she's written a book or two because, you know, she had that celebrity.
She's totally written a book or two.
Did she have a podcast, though?
Well, Dr. Joyce Brothers, hold up, guys. Dr. Joyce Brothers was in The Naked Gun.
She was.
Yeah, Ken Jennings wasn't. I'll give you that.
maybe if we cast a Naked Gun reboot, maybe we can cast Ken in that.
No, we can't do Naked Gun ever again. No Leslie Nielsen, no sale. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay.
Oh. And then after Dr. Joyce, we had Anson Williams, Patsy from Happy Days.
Yeah.
And Mabel King, who was the mother on What's Happening, I believe.
You are correct, sir.
Okay, I won't double check that. But so, yeah, that was what Mabel King was known for.
Next we have, well, another act perfect for this show. We have Waylon Flowers and Madam.
Who was another fixture from the late 70s and early 80s. Oh, hey. They have their own show, Madam. I don't know if it's a submission, but it should be. As Greg goes through the submission list to see if it's already in there.
I never put that in there. So we might as well put it in.
Yeah, Madam.
Well, how many ever chances are we going to talk about Waylon Flowers and Madam?
The final Hollywood Squares, I believe.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, because they were in the center square. Yes.
And that used to be rerun on USA back in like 85 or so. I remember that.
Oh, what wasn't rerun on USA back in 1985?
Dollar 98 Beauty Show, for one. But also, Madam's Place, I believe, had one of the Lander sisters, if not both. So either Audrey or Judy was on there, if not both of them. Sorry, we're doing more show prep as we do the show.
So next we have Morty Allen.
He who recently passed away, but also he of the crazy hair.
I believe this was before he did Pac-Man.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, Pac-Man would have been like 83, and this was 78 to 80. So definitely before Pac-Man.
Jamie Farr.
Yeah, from MASH.
Yep.
And every other game show in the 70s and 80s.
And a pilot of many a show, but never getting on air, outside of that one wordplay episode or that one week. And speaking of game shows,
we have Chuck Lorre on this as a panelist here on the $1.98 Beauty Show. Because at this time, Chuck would have been hosting Wheel of Fortune.
Yes, he was.
And then after that, we have Louis Nye, not the science guy.
No, he's another Nye.
And we have another Chuck Barris favorite, the unknown comic, Murray Langston.
Man, you know, it's got to be very tough, you know, with those facials, because all he could see with unknown comic is that dang paper bag.
But, you know, the paper bag fits the $1.98 motif. Think about it.
Oh, it does.
And it makes his job that much easier.
Yeah, because then we don't have to see what he really thinks about these crappy performances.
Exactly.
Maybe we do. He just writes it on his bag.
How can he write on that bag?
I don't know. He's got other talents, doesn't he?
Speaking of talents, oh boy, Steve Garvey.
Oh, I know why he's on this show.
No. Oh, we're gonna step right into this one, there, Chico. Why is he on the show, Greg?
Because he had sex with a lot of women.
Not untrue. He got a lot of babies. And then I'm going to wrap up with three celebrities that I purposely saved for last because one of them is, he's sort of a celebrity, and the other two are like, what hole did you drag these folks out of? The first one is Dorothy L'Amour. Dorothy L'Amour was in the Road films with Bing Crosby and Bob Hope back in the 40s and 50s. So, I mean, I'm not discrediting her. She's obviously a very popular actress, but it's like a name that I really wouldn't expect to see on a game show in 1978 is Dorothy L'Amour. We also had Patty Andrews from the Andrews Sisters. And really, unless there was a disco version of Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy from Company B in the 70s, that's like going back a generation and a half, almost two generations, for heaven's sakes. Because Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy was World War II, like 41. So, yeah, let's get somebody on here who's popular for a song for the boys fighting overseas back in the early 40s, 40 years ago, almost 40 years ago at that point. And then this one puzzled me, but after thinking about it, you know, he is a semi-celebrity, if you will. Roger Owens, and you're probably saying, who is Roger Owens?
Who is Roger Owens?
Who is Roger Owens?
Why, I'm glad you asked. He's the peanut man at Dodger Stadium. He's been on Johnny Carson. He's been serving peanuts at Dodger Stadium now for 60 years. He's the one that is like really accurate and does like the trick throws behind the back and through the legs and all that. He was a judge on the $1.98 beauty show. And also when he was shown, when Rip Taylor announced him, what did he do? He threw a bag of peanuts in the audience.
Bravo. That is terrific.
He's living up to his name. He's the Peanut Man. So yeah, easiest gig in Hollywood. If you were somebody who needed a paycheck, even if you were a peanut vendor at Dodger Stadium, you were on the $1.98 beauty show. The $1.98 beauty show, though, did give us some celebrities. Not immediate celebrities, but still celebrities in their own right. Probably the most famous one is Sandra Bernhardt.
Yes.
She of the Gap Teeth and the Roseanne Show. She was on the $1.98 beauty show. We also had Teresa Ganzel, a very popular name in TV, one of the best pyramid players there ever was. And she was on the Carson Show, on the Tonight Show. She was Art Fearn's sidekick for the Tea Time movies. She was the Tea Time movie girl after Carol Wayne. And she was also on Future Entry, The Duck Factory. and
I
we
forgot
also
got she was on the Duck Factory. I forgot she was on the she Duck, was Factory. On the Duck
yeah.
Factory.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And also, right. And also, we had Rhonda Shear, who was known for one thing, really. People of a certain age would know who she is. People older than probably about, gosh, I would hope about 30 or so, 35. Because if you were 35 now and you saw this back in the 90s, you were a bad person. No, it's just inappropriate for people that young. But she was, well, I'll let Rhonda say it.
USA, up all night.
Up, up
all night.
And that, I think, is sadly that's like
where they
the only thing she's known
the
for.
Adult stuff.
And then the other person with a game show connection is Lou Mulford, who was actually a model on Sale of the Century back in the 80s.
This was before the Geico commercial, right?
Geico commercial was 2010s and Sale of the Century is 1980s. Yes, the math works out. So yeah, there are actually people who sort of, this might have been like a launch board.
By the way, Lou Mulford, she has her own YouTube channel. Really good if you want to see what proper demos look like.
And if you want to see Rhonda Shear doing Up All Night, Rhonda Shear has a YouTube channel with a lot of that Up All Night footage. Just her sitting around in slinky garb, her big flowing blonde hair, the big puffy blonde hair of the early 90s and late 80s. And she's talking about these campy softcore porn-ish movies that USA used to show on Friday and Saturday nights. And then after she describes, you know, her little the movie or the scenario she's in, she does her little up all night. We don't know if Teresa Ganzel or if Sandra Bernhardt have any YouTube channels. Sorry.
Oh, I really do hope Teresa Ganzel has a YouTube channel.
And she better have every episode of The Duck Factory on there.
Oh yeah, I hope so.
And every time she was on the Carson Show and did the Tea Time Lady. Oh, I'm sorry. I love the Tea Time Lady and Art Fearn, the Slauson cutoff. Now get off and cut your Slauson and cut off your Slauson. Oh my gosh!
Remember, if you show your Slauson in public, it'll get you 5 to 10.
And if it's long, maybe you'll get 15 to 20. No. And one thing I want to mention before we close out the show, there was actually an episode of the $1.98 Beauty Show, which had 7 contestants.
And this 7 is, contestants?
7!
This is clearly staged. Because what happened is it was whittled down to 6. What happened is one of the contestants was doing some sort of act, singing or dancing or something in that realm. Uh-huh. And she was wearing essentially like a wedding gown, kind of mixed with like lingerie. So she was sort of like, so it wasn't a full wedding gown with the full train. It was more like lingerie that looked like a wedding gown in terms of being white. And as she, I think she had even like the veil and the headdress on. And so Rip Taylor came back from the commercial after all seven contestants had done their talent acts and said that whatever contestant she was, I think it was contestant three, ran off the stage in embarrassment after her performance and couldn't be found. So we're going to move on with the six contestants that are left. So yeah, that's actually on YouTube. An episode that started with seven contestants and then mysteriously one of the contestants ran away off the stage, out of the stage in embarrassment. Well, they put a little monkey wrench in things. I mean, it mixed things up a little bit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you want to talk about interesting little monkey wrenches? Tell them about the guy in drag they had that one time.
Well, there was a guy in drag, and I think it was, and I'm not 100% sure of this, but if you see it, it's in the opening credits of the show. I'm pretty sure that guy is Gene Gene the Dancing Machine.
Yes. Oh, I am almost certain of it.
And I never saw this episode either on GSN or as a kid, but I would assume it's either a gag or, yeah, maybe he just came down as like a surprise or an April Fool's or something. Who knows? But yeah, it's in the opening credits. You see Gene Gene the Dancing Machine. He came down the staircase and he's wearing a dress and a pillbox hat and appeared to be one of the contestants, but was he? We really will never know.
Oh,
well,
God.
That was the $1.98 Beauty Show.
Yeah. What can I say except there was so much going on with this. And when I say so much, the only thing that can possibly be said about the $1.98 Beauty Show, it was a thing on TV.
As always, thank you for listening. Thank you to Greg and thank you to Chico as always. And remember, you can find everything about this little endeavor at www.itwasathingontv.com. Again, www.itwasathingontv.com. Please be careful. If you misspell it, we're not responsible for anything you may see at www.itwasathongontv.com.
Oh, for the you might see the lost episode of the $1.98 PD show.
Ah, jeez! No!
That was horrible, Chico. Come on.
That really was.
And I made a comment about Gorby having sex with a lot of women.
Oh, dearie.
Yeah, it's been one of those shows. Well, until later this week when we cover another entry, thank you again, as always, for listening. Don't forget, like and subscribe, rate and review. Tell folks about us. We love hearing good comments about us. And we'll be back with another episode later this week of It Was a Thing on TV. Bye-bye. You win the prize, you take the cake, you get the crown and $1.98. You ring the bell, you hit the spot. In other words, we like what you've got. We like your style. You have such grace. We love your smile. And just look at that face. Your dream came true. And may your shining star stay with you whatever you do. Wherever you are. Now give me my rotten vegetables and my $1.98 in change.
Sing it, Scooby!
Bravo.
Ruin my ride! Ruin
for me! Oh, God.